idea that exists in the hearts of everyone. To put the resources into the hands of the people. To increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Dark City Radio. This is the Compassion Club show, the Dark City Compassion Club show, and we are live every Wednesday at 8 o'clock Central. No, not Central. What is it? British summer time at the moment, but probably not for much longer, but GMT time. It just depends where you are in the world to what time it is, obviously, but that's what time it is here in the UK, an hour ahead in Spain. We're in Spain as well, so it's 9 o'clock over there. And we've got lots of exciting things happening coming up for Dark City Compassion Club, but we're not going to tell you anything about all of them yet. We're going to leave you guessing. And we've got some other great guests coming up as well, lined up for the coming weeks. And I will tell you all about them at the very end of the show. Dark City Compassion Club radio show is actually brought to you really by the Dark City crew. And there's a few of us here tonight. There's Paul in Manchester, sat on the settee behind me. I'm using his ID for a change. So I'm Big Bob for the night, guys. And we've got Little Bob in Spain and Kush in Spain. We've got Michelle, and who's been a really regular good guest for quite a while now. Well, you're not really a guest anymore. You're becoming part of the crew, really, aren't you, Michelle?
Part of the crew. Yes, I like that.
Yeah, and then we've got Kevin as well. Kevin's been about here and there everywhere for a little while. He disappears and then comes back again. And it's good to have Kevin back. And we've got our guest, and he's a very interesting character, really. I only really got to know him, but I haven't actually physically met him. But I've spoken to our guest a few times, and he's a lovely man and very interesting character. And that's why I've asked him to come on to the radio show tonight. Our guest is Atmit Tidda. And he's very into cannabis and cannabis oil and the healing properties. He's into all sorts of herbs, I think, really, not just cannabis, and all sorts of different healing techniques, really. But we're going to be talking to him a bit, about cannabis, obviously, because it's a compassion show and that's what we talk about. And Atmit has been making a documentary as well. He's been on the on oil making, really. I think it's really sort of the main focus in oil making and people who are actually within the industry it's not really an industry, more of a cottage industry, really, or an illegal industry in England, whatever you want to call it. But in the cannabis thing. he's been making a documentary about the cannabis thing in the UK and around the world. So welcome, Atmit. It's really good to have you on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's an amazing work that Dark City is doing. So it's a pleasure being on. Thank you.
No worries. It sounds kind of belly tonight. I'm still getting that kind of jingly belly kind of noise. It's like somebody's got leprosy nearby or something. Where is it coming from, that bell noise? Is that better? Okay, I think it's gone. That's better. I don't want anything to spoil. Okay, maybe it's just my end then.
No, it's coming off your end.
Yeah, okay. So I'll just make sure I'm muted up when I'm not talking. See what I can do about that. But Atmit, it's great to have you on. Excuse me, I just like to try and make sure that we can have the best quality sound that we possibly can. And if we can fix anything that's not quite right, then I'm up for that. But I think what's happening is when people are talking maybe the same time as me. But really, tell us a little bit about yourself. Not about cannabis, just about yourself first, just to sort of give people an idea about who you are. And I'll ask you about cannabis in a minute.
Okay, sure. Well, I was born and raised in Harrow on the Hill in Middlesex. I left England, I guess, during the recession of 2007. I was in film school. Everyone that I knew lost their jobs within the BBC. So I went to the next best place, which was Bollywood, I guess. I went to India. I worked on a few feature films over there, pretty hardcore Bollywood films. I then moved on to work for Nat Geo and Discovery for a few shows. And just during my progress, I started kind of discovering another side of life, I guess. Sides of, I guess, poverty, sides of spirituality, if you can use that word.
Oh, yeah, you can use that word. Of course you can use that word. Are you still there? Ahmed, are you there? Okay, we seem to have lost Ahmed at the moment, but don't worry, we'll get him back in a bit. I'm sure we will. But he's got a very interesting life, really. He's lived in a lot of different cultures, travelled around the world a lot. And, yeah, he's very into the spiritual side of things as well, which is fascinating because it's... Well, I'm into the spiritual side of things as well. So to me, it's really interesting to talk to somebody and learn from them as well, and them learn from us, you know, because at Dark City, we do like looking at all aspects, especially when it comes to healing and things like that. We definitely like to look at all aspects and combined it with cannabis, really. And it's amazing, really, I'm watching Ahmed at the minute. He's nearly coming in. I'm just going to throw him out the call and then bring him back in again. Let's see if we can get Ahmed back rather than me waffling on. That's it. We're going to call him again now. But I can waffle on anywhere. I can waffle on for hours. Are you there, Ahmed?
Yeah, I'm here now. That's really strange.
Oh, it happens sometimes with Skype. But go on, we got to you went from Bollywood to did a few things with Discovery.
Yeah. Okay. So I started meeting a few. I was doing a film in Varanasi where I met a few sadhus. That was basically the game changer for me. The 15 hours of consistent knowledge and really just abusive way of looking at the Western world and Western civilization kind of opened a few things, I mean, perception-wise. And that kind of led me to being introduced to cannabis. I never actually used to even consume or...
Discovery? Yeah, okay. So I started...
Never actually even used cannabis, per se, until... I smoked a chillum with a sadhu in Varanasi. That was my first experience to cannabis.
15 hours of...
Sorry, that's Max keeps coming into the call with his radio on.
Okay. I keep hearing my own voice.
And I keep throwing him out. Max, make sure you stay muted. Otherwise, I'm going to have to throw you out again. Are you muted? Thank you. There you are, Matt Mid.
Okay. So after that experience, I wasn't fully still sure about what my place was on this planet. Started doing feature films, started doing adverts, and that's where the downhill spiral kind of started for me, in my personal life, and started realizing that there's something really wrong with this. I've always wanted to make movies and, somehow express myself through cinema, and I'm now making adverts, selling cars, selling fossil fuel-based items. It was not the most best of times. And then I had my experience with a shaman in 2012 in India. We did an ayahuasca ceremony in India, which is the first time of its kind where shamans come down. And that led me on a whole different path after that. That was, from then, it's just been medicine work. Any film I do now, I do it purely based on understanding, researching, and getting deeper into plant knowledge. This kind of led me to leave Mumbai and stay in the Himalayan mountains. where cannabis basically grows everywhere. It's like a grain of grass. You have a cannabis plant there.
Okay, then can I just go back, take you back a minute?
Of course.
Some people might not know what a sagu is. I'm probably saying it wrong. You know when you was in...
Sagu, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sagu, or people can call it a holy man. These are individuals that, I mean, you may have seen, they have massive long dreadlocks, and they usually don't wear any clothes. They're individuals that have renounced the materialistic world, and they mostly consume only cannabis. Obviously, I mean, for them, it's everything. It's their life. It's their blood. It's their air. It's their food. I mean, literally, the people that I was living with, there's one guy, he called himself Happy Baba, just to kind of help out tourists to kind of pronounce his name. He would consistently smoke a chillum, and I never saw him drink water or eat food. I would probably smoke and get really hungry afterwards. So he would actually go and get me some proper food, but he would never eat. So for me, they were using it in a way to kind of reach God. And for them, God was Shiva. So it was a strange experience. I can definitely say that. But I guess what they taught me then really stuck with me. And the simple thing was that he asked me, what was the one thing that I wanted in life? I said, well, I guess I want money, right? So I can buy stuff. He's like, okay, so what's your money made from? I'm like, it's made from paper. He's like, wow, that's really smart of you. Education's really helped. I said, okay, what's his whole aggression towards me? He's like, well, what's your paper made from? I said, well, paper's made from trees. He goes, and what else? What does a tree give you? I'm like, okay, tree gives me free air. It gives me food. He's like, okay, so why do you need money if nature's given you everything for free? And at that point, that changed something in me, just hearing that. It changed my perception, because in England, before I left, I mean, I was a materialistic individual. I love to spend my money or buy things that I'll enjoy for a little bit and then put it aside, go out, have a good time, and I guess live a normal Western life, I guess. That for me was the pinnacle, I guess, of my journey in India. That for sure.
Okay, so how did you get into cannabis then? This is the big question, really, since it's a show about cannabis.
Of course. I mean, with cannabis, I mean, I've always been intrigued, mostly on the medicinal front, because when I'm seeing these individuals that are consuming it for all purposes. So I started consuming it myself, and I enjoyed it. It really opened. I guess it really helped me express myself more. The plant would allow me to kind of communicate more through my films, through my writing. A point came where I started. I mean, I'm just put one note I want to put in that I lost my father to cancer in 2010. That's where a lot of change came into life, because I started knowing that, oh, you know, if I could get him cannabis, maybe he wouldn't need the morphine. Maybe if he could, I mean, he couldn't actually smoke because he had throat cancer. But a few 2 years back, when I started doing a bit more research, all of a sudden, this whole cannabis oil situation kind of arose in life, and that just took over a whole bug. It just became a point where I just needed to know more about this. And at that point, I watched a documentary, I mean, Run from the Cure, and, you know, started making the oil myself. I don't grow cannabis where I stay. It's growing everywhere, so I use what's available to me. I think even to this day, I still have no idea what strain I've been using.
Did you say that you said you went to Nepal as well, though, and it was grown all over the place there? Are you still there, Amit? I thought he'd stopped a bit suddenly.
Yeah. I went in.
Pardon him?
Throw him out, bring him back.
Yeah.
Same as you did before. Perfect.
We'll throw him out and we'll bring him back in again. That makes connections a bit funny today. Sometimes this happens when you're relying on things like Skype. It's nowhere near, it didn't seem as reliable as it once was when it was on, before it got put on the cloud.
You want to remove him and bring him back rather than recall him?
All right.
Right click, remove from group, and then call, add him back. We won't be long. Excuse us, this is generally a human error. Can you not remove him? There you go. And just drag and drop.
I nearly removed him from contacts. There we go. We're ringing him back up again. We'll have him back for you in a minute. He's got a fascinating story, really, you know. Just how you know, these journeys can change your whole lifestyle, you know, opening you up to a different way of being. Well, a spiritual journey is really what he's talking about. And you're obviously using cannabis as well with people that use cannabis in a spiritual and medicinal way, you know, because cannabis is really used a lot in religious activities and spiritual practices, because it does get energy moving and shifting within the body. And this is another area that I find quite fascinating with it, because, you know, everyone knows, well, not everyone, but I have got a biology degree. I am, you know, do science. I'm a scientist kind of thing. But I've also got energy work as well. So, you know, I'm a bit on both sides, which is quite fascinating for me, because I like bringing the two together, you know, and it's great to bring the two together. And meeting somebody like Atmid as well, that's what he does, really, you know, because cannabis, as we all know, is a medicine. And so, you know, when you use a medicine, it is also a science, but it's a spiritual medicine as well, cannabis. It's the yin and yang, it's been known as in ancient Chinese culture, because it is such a balanced medicine, and it brings harmony to males and it brings harmony to females. And by harmony, really, it sort of brings your body back into homeostasis. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm back now. So my net connection's pretty bad, I guess.
Yeah, I think people would be glad, because I was waffling on about spirit. I can't say that word very well. Spirituality and cannabis.
Yeah. So
you were saying you don't know what strain you.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't know what strain I use. That's why I kind of, in one way, getting in touch with Rick Simpson and him coming down to India and seeing the plants himself. I mean, he himself was like, well, this is a mix of sativa and indica. I mean, I guess those are the two types that people discuss the most. And for me, I knew that indica was very prominent in India. But the effects of the oil when I took it myself wasn't as described as what Rick would have said. You know, it's got to have a very sedative effect on the body. This was quite energizing and then also sedative. So I guess it was a mix. And I think what happened when I came to England, it really expanded my knowledge, because finally actually meeting the communities and also meeting people that have been growing their own plants and, you know, self-medicating themselves and understanding and also gaining knowledge from them through my interviews. It's kind of I guess it kind of works as, you know, as two stones for me when it's come to making this documentary. It's gaining knowledge, but also helping people to kind of express their knowledge as well.
Yeah, I find that with the radio as well. It's brilliant, isn't it? I get to learn loads from just talking to people like you and Michelle and Kevin and Bob. You know, it's great to be able to share and exchange information, because really, you know, with cannabis, it's a new path we're treading, really. Obviously, it's a well-trodden path a long time ago, but with the laws changing and plus people's knowledge of this amazing plant spreading it all the time, you know, we are treading a new path, and different people are using different techniques and getting different kinds of results. And so it's fascinating to actually talk to lots of different people and find out what they're doing. So this, I want to hear more about this journey then, Atmid, if that's okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I started then, we tried planning, and listen, now from Rick coming to India, there's a movement in India called the GLM, which is the Great Legalization Movement, who had prior organized Rick to kind of come down to India. When he came down and we tried organizing an event for him where he'll do his normal talks, it was actually shut down 4 days prior to us booking this venue 2 months before, and everything was planned out. It was actually shut down by CIPLA. This is where I got really intrigued then. This is where I was like, okay, there's something here now. I mean, you know, I guess at one point I didn't want to believe the conspiracy behind, you know, the medical system is blocking the plant and all these stuff. But, you know, it's out there, it's a plant, you can't, you know, maybe people don't know about it. So it has to kind of be, it has to spread as knowledge. But after realizing that they're literally shut, they shut down the actual event, it felt like a film has to be made on this. You know, I want to kind of document more. And then meeting people in India, in Mumbai, which is a bit midway of India, in the south, in Bangalore, even in Delhi, people are making their own oil, using their own techniques now as well. So for me, it was a major shocker that, okay, people know about this and they're doing it themselves. But at the same time, then finding out that, okay, well, there's actually a huge network of people doing this. You know, I thought, was I the only one coming across this? No, I wasn't. There was many more people. So I guess for me as a filmmaker, I thought, well, okay, if this was something that I could have used to help my own dad, imagine someone needing this right now, needing this information right now, but maybe they couldn't speak English, maybe they don't have access to YouTube and they can't speak English or even understand any of the oil techniques out there. So I felt like I wanted to make a film that was tapping on all regions, looking at India, Russia, Croatia, England, and I still may even travel to other countries now, just to kind of show people that no matter what country you're in, you've got someone speaking your own local language, there's a comfort zone there, and they're saying that the cannabis and also the cannabis oil has helped them. You know, once when someone hears it in their own language, it's a major change for them. You know, it's not a foreign language like English is. So in India, there's hundreds of different dialects. So already I've met 10 people there, all from different backgrounds, all from different languages. And from a rich industrialist to a rickshaw driver who helped me out. And so I just gave him a syringe to help his wife out. And it's just been a place where people are getting the medicine that needed. You know, people are calling out for it. So I guess you just keep, and again, it's like every time you meet someone, it's not a random meeting. It's somehow you have to have a random conversation with them for them to kind of find out, oh, this person actually could use the oil and it could actually help them. So these connections started happening where the medicine was kind of making its path. So for me, it was understand the spiritual path and maybe not really paying too much attention to it, or maybe not even believing in it, coming down to I fully like believe that apart from, you know, cannabis or curing cancer or the other 700 diseases that so far have been recorded that it can actually heal, it's also leading a pathway for an individual. It's like the planet is somehow sustaining itself through us consuming a plant. And it's amazing how, and for me, that the film itself has actually expanded now from patients to oil makers and to now on a much more global picture, how the planet itself has created such medicines that not only heal the physical body, but also heal the mind. You know, the actual human being itself. And I've met so many people who, after taking the oil, actually started becoming much more eco-friendly. Some people have become vegetarians. Some have started farming. A lot of people started saying, oh, but they're going to be leaving Mumbai, they're leaving the city so they can get a place outside, get it somewhere on the countryside. So in one way, there's a much more larger scene occurring on this planet, and it's all happening through plants. You know, every single person that I've met from a different background, different religion, I mean, different skin color, but every single person only has a lot of devotion to this. And for me, there's a much more bigger picture that...
Can I just say something?
Of course.
I know you're on a bit of a roll there, but, you know, that to me is one of the main reasons that, you know, why this plant is illegal. People say about the bend, it's obvious there's a few reasons, but that to me, you know, that turnaround within the person that it gives, you know, the turnaround in their perception of the world and how they perceive things and how they want to spend their time and how they want to spend their energy does change.
Yeah.
It's a shift, and that is quite scary for people who rule this world, because they want us all working and keeping busy.
Yeah.
They don't want us going to the countryside, stopping and thinking. It's not them and us. I don't believe in that, but this whole system's kind of geared up for people not to be stopping and taking time out. It's sort of the whole cogs seem to be needing a lot of man hours. You know, jobs are deliberately created just for the sake of having jobs, really, aren't they, these days? So,
yeah. No, I mean, what we're saying is completely true. I mean, at one point, it always fell down to, well, the same, that one thing that sadhu told me, that, you know, why do you need money? You know, if everything has been given to you and you're just taking everything and creating something that you've taken, then how do you even equate valuing that item through a dead plant, you know, from a dead plant with a number on it? And using that as a way of exchanging another item that really you've not really paid for, you just taken from the earth. And for me, after meeting individuals, the kindness, the love that people have, it's quite stunning, because really I've sold that word. I've sold the word love in over 40 commercials where, oh, if you buy this product, you're gonna have a hot chick riding on your scooter, or if you get this, you'll start looking like this. And the selling techniques that advertisers have to manipulate someone's mind to a point where we're literally consistently belittling people and making them think they need this product to make their life better, and how a plant, something, I mean, at one point it becomes, for me, it becomes too logical. This plant has to be around. I mean, people actually need to be consuming it on a regular basis. It should be a part of your daily lifestyle, because it's, I mean, being a human being, there isn't a guide to being our species. There isn't a guide of how to live life.
No, and have you heard that theory? Well, one of the reasons why we are, well, it's not a theory, endocannabinoid deficiency does exist, but, you know, we've evolved with cannabis. We have actually evolved with this plant, you know, and we've been taking it and eating the seeds and eating the buds and doing whatever, smoking it for a long, long time. We've evolved with this plant, you know. A lot of people say, well, I don't know if a lot of people say, but there is a theory that due to it being made illegal, that's when one of the reasons why cancer and other illnesses cases have risen. You know, it's just the lack of the fact that we're not eating and having cannabis anymore as part of our diet and part of our medicine cabinet.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to be phasing this in my film, but I met this medicine man, and he basically had his own way of looking at cancer. And he kind of compared it to Amazonian fire ants. He goes, you know, Amit, think of the Amazonian fire ants. And he goes, you know, they, when they're born, they do great things for plant life there. You know, I won't go into the complete detail of how, but you can actually watch it on a BBC documentary called Planet Earth. I think everyone might have seen it. It's a collection by a BBC. And there's a segment which discusses these fire ants. And he goes that when these fire ants go out of limit, when they kind of overpopulate, or they start damaging their environment around them, meaning they start consuming all the plants around them, start damaging trees, these mushroom spores start appearing on the vicinity of these colonies of ants. and these mushroom spores basically poison and kill off a large portion of the colony until the colony actually subsides in size or stops their actions, and then these mushrooms disappear. So I was like, okay, that's pretty interesting. I mean, it got me thinking afterwards that, okay, as a species, we're consistently burning fossil fuel. We're consistently digging through this planet. We're using our resources left, right, and center. And yeah, we're living on an organic spaceship. And if we're destroying the spaceship and the spaceship has to kind of sustain itself, maybe it is trying to eradicate our species in one way. It's 1 in 2 now. In the UK, it's 1 in 2 that will be diagnosed with cancer. That's quite a scary rate. And the simple fact is we don't discuss it. We do ask for a lot of money on TV for it. Today I saw 5 commercials that discuss, please give, you know, money for cancer research. But then I'm like, well, okay, the top 20 pharmacologist companies that work purely for oncologist medications, they were in a profit of over $30 billion, and that's only this year. That's only this year. So it's kind of strange how we're literally always asking for money for research. So then how can a company that is selling medication for cancer patients, how can they put a profit out of $30 billion? That for me is where the documentary kind of started. I didn't understand this mathematics. And especially in England, Cancer Research UK would raise around about £700 million just in this year.
Well, it's shocking to me that they don't look into diet, you know, minerals, nutrients, they don't look into that. You know, cannabis, I can kind of see because they need to get a special license, but I still don't think that they've looked into it enough. They even released a video not all that long ago really saying, oh, you think you're going to cure your cancer? And they just had lots of fruit rolling around and, you know, it's like, you know, when people are really ill, their nutrient levels are always out.
Yeah,
you know? Exactly. So to me, it seems obvious that would be one of the places where you would start. And nutrients and cannabis together, they just go hand in hand. To me, it's like giving cannabis the tools it needs to build the house back, you know, yeah, to repair exactly. The damage. And without the minerals and nutrients, cannabis can still be a really beneficial treatment for cancer, but it's not as good, I don't think, you know, with the nutrients and the minerals there.
Exactly.
You know, you're actually rebuilding a strong, healthy person that probably wouldn't even need as much cannabis oil to get rid of their cancer, you know. And these are things that, you know, that are really fascinating and really do need exploring more, you know, because cannabis, just by the nature of the way it works within the body, it brings things back into balance, you know. But it needs them things there in the first place to really give it assistance, you know. If you've got a really acidic body, then you're going to have low levels of calcium. Even if you're supplementing with calcium, you can still have low levels of calcium because that calcium is then being taken away from its actual job of making bones and used to as a buffer, to buffer so that the fluids going into the blood, so the blood remains 7. pH neutral 7, you know. So the more stress and strain that we're getting put on our body through the environment, you know, and through our daily chores and what we're being exposed to, the more our bodies having to use these minerals for other things rather than the job that they're supposed to be doing, you know.
Yeah,
and when you've got something like cancer, your body's under tremendous attack to from all sorts of different angles. You're weakening all over the place. Your mineral levels are definitely getting affected. So it's, you know, I think holistically and looking at the whole body and what can be done is really important. And like you keep saying as well about the spiritual side of it as well, you know, the opening up, the love, you know, that's such an important part of the healing process, you know. I hear some fascinating healing stories. I mean, stories about people with it doing so well on cannabis oil with cancer and all sorts of things. I've just got nothing but respect for this plant. And it has got to be respected. It really, really, really does have to be respected. Decent, good dosing guides need to be followed. I'm talking especially for people who have never had cannabis before, really. Weight, using weights, not grains of rice. I'm having a bit of a moan on people with grains of rice's protocols been flying around the internet recently, just because it's not really an accurate way. And if people have never had cannabis before and they're very ill with cancer, it can be quite detrimental with these grains of rice, really. You know, you need to know how much you're taking. You need to be able to keep that regular, and you don't want to be going up too fast. You don't want to be putting your body into detoxification faster than need be without giving it extra support, you know. So it's really important that this information gets out there as well, and people should be open to listening to it, listen to what other people who have got to say, rather than thinking that they're attacking you, because this is a new field. This is really for a lot of us. There's a lot of people out there who are medicating people, who are treating people, who actually don't really even know the functioning of the liver, you know. So it's you know, get yourself educated. If you're going to be a caregiver, take responsibility for your job. Make sure you learn. Make sure you know what you're on about, the basic functions of things like the liver, the blood. You know, just get your head around it, the workings of it all. You know, and then we can all contribute to the science and all contribute to the gathering the information. Like what you're doing at the moment, isn't it? You know, what you're doing is amazing. I really take my hat off to you. But go on.
Thank you. I mean, it's like, literally coming to England wasn't even a part of the plan. Honestly, I thought, I don't think anyone's doing it in England. I got in touch with a few clubs that I have been a part of just to kind of get an idea of what's happening. And then I got to meet people like Alan Buffery. I got to meet people at the UPA, and I got to speak to everyone at Dark City. And I was like, I was blown away. Like, wow, you know, again, the plant in one way guided me back over here. So I had to kind of document this, because it's funny, when I spoke to a friend of mine in India, and, you know, I was like, yeah, but do you think they'll legalize it? And because it was actually made illegal in India in 1985. So a lot of if people know a lot about the cannabis there, but it's not cultivated in the way it's cultivated in the West. You know, I've met so many amazing growers. I'm like, no, you should definitely come down and share your knowledge there, because the knowledge that the farmers had at one point has not been passed down. And when I started hearing that, you know, news that the local authorities of the Himalayan, they actually get paid around about £20,000 to chop down. For them, it's like a scale of about 30 acres to 40 acres of cannabis land, because it's everywhere. So it's like they're literally not even touching a percent of the availability of cannabis there, but they're paid to do this. And when the link came, one officer, and doesn't speak any English, he was like, well, you know, as far as I know, I saw once my officer discussing this with me, and it's about the UN and something about the UN. And I was like, what? How is that even possible? But then, again, seeing the whole backstory of it, in Mumbai anyway, people are like, well, you know, if England legalizes it, it will happen in India. Because, you know, the whole system in India is like the English system, right? I mean, a smart Indian person wouldn't fully say, oh, yeah, I live in a free country. I live in a country now, but, you know, it's still under this law that was left behind. So if things change in England, things would definitely change over here. And now seeing this petition that went through, and the government and this party just putting out a poor statement, and then coming across that on the 12th of October, they're going to have a debate, I believe, or some kind of hearing. I decided to kind of extend my stay. I'm like, you know what, this will just at least educate me. And I just want to document this. Where the film goes and how the film will expand, I don't really know. I know the premise of everything that I've been told by any person I've interviewed so far, from a sadhu to Alan Buffery to a patient that's growing the plant herself and self-medicating, they always think, well, people just need to grow. I mean, you've put your government, your government is run by you. You own them. They work for you. If you want a rule or you want something to be done, they have to get it done. It's not a choice for them. So for people to kind of heal themselves, they need to just start growing their own. you know, and the knowledge that's coming out now, especially from the UK, where people are really going into the science behind it, you know, really getting, and again, it's so sad that someone like Jeff, who had to get a project crowdfunded to do research on it. And I'm like, well, where's that £700 million going then? I mean, if he just needed a certain amount, less than a million, less than 100,000, just to do a bit of, to do a research and to kind of come down to a certain path, okay, maybe this is what we need. Because there's so many strains out there. There's still, there's still little that people know. And the research that you all are doing is going to become a sort of Bible. You know, you're literally documenting in your own way the what each plant, what each strain has to each other illness. You know, this information needs to get out, and it's just sad that it's not being done. You know, it's not being helped by the government. You know, we pay for them at a certain point. And for me, this is where I'm definitely going to be looking at this in the film as well, is really questioning how we run our societies. Because this in one way is not modern at all. If there's an issue, like I was definitely say, it's like our government is a maid in a house. You have a maid to, I guess, clean your dishes, do your floors, and you're very specific. And I'm giving an example of what happens in India. People do have maids there. They're very specific. Oh, you've missed the spot, or you've missed this spot, or you've not done the dishes right. You can literally complain to them, and they'll get it done. And it's funny how the government really is available to you in that way. You know, you have to make your demands, but really, we're not really living in that kind of system. We've never lived in that kind of system, and I think now it should be a plant-based system more than a human-run system, it feels like.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. When I met the Tory MP the other week at Bernadette's house, Bernadette's going to be coming on next week. She's amazing. I'll explain more about Bernadette near the end of the show. But when I went round to see the Tory MP there, I just told him, look, we're not asking your permission anymore. What we're doing here is letting you know what's actually happening. The British people are turning to cannabis for cancer medication and lots of other medication for other illnesses and conditions. We are actually using it. We're letting you know so that you can catch up with us, so that you can wake up and see and catch up, basically. You know, you're the people that vote. The normal everyday person who's never even used cannabis before is actually approaching us on a daily basis wanting to use cannabis oil. You know, you are kicking down the doors of your voters who are just trying to put their cancer in remission. How do you feel about that, Mr. Tory MP? And he didn't believe me that cancer patients were getting their doors kicked in. He didn't think that medical users were getting their doors kicked in. Quite amusing, really. Or is he just lying? They do get these political types are pretty good at wiggling. You know, they wiggle and wiggle their way out of everything. You know, they don't really answer questions properly, and they avoid it, and they just think about themselves and what their policies are. In the end, he just kept going on about policy, and that's not really my strong point, which I've said before quite a few times. You know, because I find that they speak quite a lot of, I'm going to use the word bullshit, I find it hard to actually pay much attention for them to keep my attention or to even understand what they're saying, you know, because I like to talk quite straight, you know. So it's quite difficult for me to do that. But as a UPA representative for Yorkshire, I really should really, I suppose, learn a bit more about politics. But there you go, Amit.
No, I mean, it's at a certain point, even a policy that you talk about, isn't that a policy made for the people? You know, if the law is going to go in place, there should be some way of saying, hey, you know, this law is going to happen. What do you think of it? Have it on a voting system on a phone or something. If everything's digital right now, allow people to have that access, because right now laws are being made consistently in different countries to not allow people to have the right anymore.
No, I should, you know, be able to, as a biologist, explain to the Tory MP, say, look, this is what is happening with cannabis. This is what it's doing. This is what it's doing within the side of the body. And this is why it's working. And they should be going, oh, shit, I'll quickly go and change that act then. Really?
Yeah, I think they should be
listening to me. I shouldn't be listening to them. They should be listening to me and lots of other people like me. But
Yeah, I mean, whoever's listening to this radio show right now, we all pay taxes. That goes somewhere. And it goes to someone claiming expenses for their vacation. That's not right to a certain point. You know, if you're going to do one job, I'd rather have a very localized government then. I mean, whatever area you live in, localize everything. And I think that's going to be the greater benefit, I feel, with times to come, especially in India. We're trying to now at least understand the plants that are needed, the strains that are needed, even maybe look at a good seed, an average seed that can maybe be used for all circumstances, and allow villagers to start harvesting, you know, cannabis, and from certain villages, allow them to sell it back to the people, because farmers are being killed off over there. They're committing suicide so that their land will go to their heir. And it's sad. It's literally sad. The people that literally are growing the food so people can survive are the ones who are poor. And the middlemen who are selling those vegetables for six times the prices are living very lavish lives. They're polluting the environment. I mean, I feel the more money you have, the more damage you've done. The more money you have, the more dead trees you have in your palm, and the more polluted you're going to put around with you flying around with your fancy cars. I mean, if you've got more money, you're actually doing more damage. And the people that have no money are doing no damage whatsoever and are sadly killing themselves so that their own family can live longer. This system has to change, and in India, it's coming to a very pinnacle point. And seeing in England, the point where it's come where, before meeting all the cannabis club founders, it's amazing how everyone is now discussing that. Yeah, you know, things weren't right before, but now we're all coming together. You know, things weren't right before, but now we're coming. It's now everyone's kind of come to when everyone's really pushing that effort in that. You know what? We're all doing it for ourselves, and we're all doing it for a plant. And for me, it all comes down to the fact that we're doing it for a plant. You know, I'm traveling around shooting a documentary for a plant. I'm not doing it for a fake movie star, you know, whose job is to literally be fake on screen. But obviously, they're the ones selling you a fake product afterwards, which is quite funny for me still. Having the whole... again, the plant world has completely changed my perception of how I saw my previous job and how I can use that skill and kind of concentrate it towards plants and plant medicine and nature. And I think even after this film is done, I'll be doing another film on mushrooms. I'll be doing another film on another plant called ayahuasca. For me, it doesn't end because I want to keep learning more about these medicines. They just intrigue me too much for me to ignore them. And I think the plants is doing its magic. It's doing its magic. It's making all the right connections. And I can't help but think in about a few years where I can only see a better future. You know, as long as we still keep plants within our lives, within our homes. I think that's the most important thing. People should care enough to actually start growing themselves, because you can't arrest everyone. You know, how many people can you arrest? How many people can you put in a prison cell? You can't put every single person there. If everyone grows, then the people have won.
We already outnumber them. We already outnumber them. There's already enough people here growing in this country, and already enough cannabis users to put an end to it. Just like there's already enough professionals who could stand up and put an end to it. But again, it's that big old thing that everyone's got. Old fear.
That's stopping
us all from jumping up together and standing tall together and saying, yes, we all... Michelle's done it. Michelle's done it.
I've done it.
There's not many like Michelle, to be fair, that will do it, you know.
And again, it's that strength that, even Michelle, I mean, I've read about all your endeavors and, you know, hats off, and, you know, it's as if you've taken upon your shoulder to make sure that, you know, the British citizens get this medicine, because you're kind of putting yourself in the line of fire.
Well, yeah, I mean, originally I did it purely because I know so many people that can't do it. And I was in a position myself where I couldn't do it for so long. So I just feel that I'm able to do it. And I'm hoping it will encourage other people to come forward as well. And with October the 12th coming up, I think it's looking quite promising.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it seems like October the 12th is the only reason why I'm still here. I would have gone back to India some time ago with all the interviews that I've got. But after this whole scenario has come up, I thought this is something I just want to be a part of and also document the story of, because there's been so many people. I believe an individual, her name is Granny Pat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and again, I've heard so many stories about her, and it's like I want to get her story out as well, because people shouldn't forget. I mean, if we talk about war, and we have so many war films and all these war heroes, there's also plant heroes, the plant rock stars that really put themselves out there to do something for someone else, and their stories are never will be told. And for me, these are stories that I want to tell. I want to tell a story about people's movement. I want to tell a story about a sadhu and his use of cannabis. I want to tell a story about someone in England who's using it to cure their illness. You know, I want to tell a story about individuals that are going on a mass scale and that, you know, are underground selling, I mean, giving out the medicine to people for free. You know, these stories need to kind of come out for people to realize that, you know what, there are people out there doing this already. It just needs one other individual. And if they keep it too late, in a few years, it'll be one in one. Every single person will be diagnosed with cancer. Then what are we going to do? You know,
this cannabis would just be grown everywhere then, won't they?
People, yeah, that'll be like an emergency seed bombing happening consistently, you know.
Yeah. People aren't listening anymore, are they? You know, it's like Bernadette said to the Tory MP, people aren't swallowing it anymore. People, you know, we're looking on the internet, we're exploring, we're researching for ourselves, we're not believing what you're coming out with. We know that you lie, we know that you know that this is a amazing medicine, and you recognize it as a medicine, otherwise it wouldn't be Sativex.
I can't believe I forgot to mention the T-Vex, because, and thank you for mentioning it, I mean, that's like, hold on a second. And then, as I think Alan Buffy mentioned it, he goes, that's alchemy, Amit. That's pure alchemy. When you get a poisonous plant and you make it into medicine, that's called alchemy. And, you know, for him, it's the biggest joke, because it's like they've kind of shot themselves in the foot by now releasing a medication that's made from cannabis. I think my only concern is the amount of alcohol in Sativex, which I didn't really understand.
It's a tincture, isn't it? It's an extract, but it's a tincture, and they add peppermint as well to it for the terpenes.
Ah, okay.
Not flavour, like a lot of people think it is.
I personally think that it's going to be exciting times, especially in England. And I feel like it will resonate. Whatever happens here will completely resonate throughout the world, because England has conquered a lot of the world. And a lot of the systems in place right now for a lot of countries is the British system. So if England changes, the rest of the world, I feel, will also come along and change. It'll be great to see what happens on October the 12th, that's for sure.
I think it would be great if people really wanted to stand out as well. I mean, I'm making as many banners as I can, and I'm going to be taking them along to hand out for people to hold, taking suggestions of what to write on them as well. And the other thing is, I'm going to be painting my face up in kind of a war mask, and I would suggest others that are angry about this do exactly the same thing. Just to show that we're all standing united, that we're going to stand out, and we're not happy about this, and we want it discussed properly and taken seriously, because they know we know. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're standing out as a united front here, and getting the message across. October the 12th, I think, is quite important.
Yeah, it is important if people can get down there. It starts at 10 o'clock, the actual Parliament debate. You know, if you haven't already, you know, you've still got a little bit of a chance to write to your MP. But a lot of people are even scared to do that, you know. So this fear thing is really, you know, get some more cannabis in you. Get rid of the fear and do it anyway.
That's absolutely true. I mean, get some cannabis in you. That's the most important thing. It just helps you with everything else. You get that in your system, it will help you with everything else. It'll give you the courage, give you the mindset, and it'll actually allow you to kind of be the best you. It can be the creative you, the expressive you. And I think people need to express a lot more in this country, a lot more other countries. You know, we've got to stop relying on our social statuses and start living a proper human existence, I feel. And I think that can only be done if we live with nature.
It makes you real. If you don't speak your truth, it makes you real. I've been more and more determined over the last wee while to speak my truth. You know, it because I used to get quite upset about, you know, worried about offending people, or worried about, you know, not saying something, or what somebody might think, or this, that, and the other. And you know, in the British society, there seems to be quite a lot of it. But, you know, that sort of behaviour makes you ill, you know. Not speaking your truth, not saying what you want to, what you're feeling and what's going on for you, is one of the things that's making you ill, making us ill. That is one of the things that is bringing on these diseases, as far as I'm concerned as well, is not expressing yourself, you know. So yeah, it's vitally important that we do speak our truth and stand up for our own well-being and our own health as an individual and as a community and as a nation.
Oh, absolutely. It's just, and there's, I mean, I know we're probably running out of time, but there was one thing that one sadhu mentioned, that he goes, Amit, look at our solar system, okay? And I was like, okay. Well, he goes, you know the human chakra system, and I don't know if people know about the chakras that are in the human body, for example, that if people do yoga, they may understand it more.
Yeah, we've got 7, haven't we?
7, yeah. So for him, it's like, well, you know, think of your third eye, think of your pineal gland as being the sun, okay? And if you look at Earth, Earth is the third one. So imagine that. Your third chakra is your voice chakra. It's your chakra to express. And what allows you to express the most? You go, well, plants do. You go, look at cannabis. It allows you to, or as they call it, ganja, it allows you to express. So look on a much more larger scale. Heck, this planet is the planet for ganja. Because it's for us. It's meant for this planet. This planet is always creating new creatures, new plants. We kind of understand how we're discovering new plants every single day. New animals have been discovered every single day. You know, this planet is consistently evolving and it's consistently creating. And the only problem with the human species is they're not going with it. They're stopping themselves. And it's obviously they're stopping themselves to a very high point where, obviously, ego, not knowing what is right or wrong, so you want to control people. And cannabis allows you to let go. It allows you to have freedom in your life. And I think that is, I mean, I would always see it on the bigger picture. You know, I always see, hey, it's for the planet. It's a part of the solar system. It's you know, it's planetary change. You know, we will discuss about this, a shift on the planet. So for me, this is a shift. It's a plant shift. It's when humans will live with nature and not live against it.
Well, look back, isn't it? It's going back to living with nature. You know, I haven't given up hope on the human race. I, you know, I feel myself moving forward all the time. You know, sometimes, and because I view the world in a very similar way to what you do, even though I've got a science background, you know. I think the two can live together quite nice, hand in hand, myself, you know, and I can feel the energy changing and energy shifting. And when it gets really intense, I can feel it going through my body. And a lot of the time, if I take oil or if I do a dab or something, I feel my whole body is actually buzzing, you know, with the energy that is actually in my body from doing that. And because I'm so aware of it, I can really pick up on it. And you can pick up on the shifts and the changes that are occurring within the body and also around. And I think there's a lot, I do agree, there's a lot changing at the moment. There's a lot of clearing, you know. We all need to learn to live, to be more honest, stop lying, stop wiggling, and everything will be okay, you know. Just be honest and with yourself. You know, most people aren't honest with themselves. Most people won't admit that they lie or cheat. You know, most people would rather think that they didn't, you know, that they're not egotistical. People don't even understand what an ego is. I did a radio show on it a couple of years ago on ego, and it was fascinating because I didn't even understand what ego was totally. Then I just thought it was people being big-headed, but no, it's not. It's making problems as well. It's all sorts of things, isn't it? You know, making dramas and...
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's like you... Somehow we prefer to be the victim of our own life story. It's funny how we literally praise people to enact fake characters, and we pay them obscene amount of what we call money that everyone wants. And it's for me, the whole play is just too strange to the point where, you know, most of us maybe aren't even human beings, I feel sometimes. Maybe we just come to the planet to kind of help the planet out, because it's to a certain point, if you're rewarding fakeness, if you're rewarding people to be fake and you're showing them on TV consistently, all anyone else wants to be is going to be fake. A lot of people want to, you know, become famous. For what purpose? So you can be seen and be loved. I think people, like most actors that I meet, actually have major psychological issues. They don't get loved enough, and with that they will do anything to get that attention.
Well, yeah, it's attention seeking, isn't it? You know, and when, if you, you know, and we've all, this is what we always say at Dark City, you know, we're all broken, you know, it just takes that little bit of time. You know, if you are wanting to be really famous and you are really wanting to pull people towards you, you know what, look what you're not looking for. Look for it in yourself, you know, find that thing in yourself, because this is what we're all having to do. If you want to keep up with the human race, I think this is what, you know, the human race needs to start taking responsibility for itself. The long, you know, Paul says it all the time as well, you know, if we're always looking towards leaders, you're never going to take responsibility for yourself, and you're always going to be moaning about the fact the leaders are making a mistake and messing everything up, because they're not going to have everyone's interest at heart. They're going to have their own, you know. And as long as you look for a leader, well, that's what's going to happen. And what can you expect? You can't put all that responsibility onto other people. You know, come on, man up. We've got to take it for ourselves. We've got to move forward and stop looking to these leaders. No, this is what we're doing. You know, this is what we're doing, and this is, we're not going to stop for anyone. Like Michelle says, I'm not going to stop doing what I do. I'm not scared of them. Well, if I was scared of them, even if they did scare me, I'd still do it anyway. You know, even I do get scared at times by what I do and what goes on in this world. I'd be lying if I said I didn't. You know, I do get scared. I do feel vulnerable at times, but you know, you just got to feel that vulnerability and that fear and do it anyway, really, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's as, again, it's like, to make it simple for me, I can only simplify things. And again, as another sadhu saying, he goes, if you take in cannabis, the plant will always protect you. You know, the plant is allowing you to express, so it's in your body. It will always guide you and it will always protect you. So what's the problem? Human beings will never protect you. They can't protect themselves, but plants can protect its consumer. As long as you take it with respect, you will always be protected. And if you're going with the right intention, I think the work that you guys are doing it on the right intention.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll only go forward. You're only going to be more protected by the plant. And for me, whatever is said and done, I mean, at a certain point, we're all going to leave in our physical bodies. At least leaving knowing that you did exactly what you wanted to do. Leaving knowing that I have done everything that I wanted to do going forward. I mean, it kind of makes life much more easier to live, I feel. I think for me, finally, if I'm making a film, I'm making content on plants. I'm consistently getting new ideas or discovering new plants that I'm going to make a film on. It's like maybe I have to clone myself and start shooting more things, making more films with more plants and just getting people to kind of understand more.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, one at a time, I guess. One at a time.
Yeah, Bob's got some numbers in there. It looks like he's had them in for a little while and I didn't notice. Yeah, Bob, do you want to say something, lad?
I can't remember now. We were ages ago, but I know Terry's got some numbers. Oh, hang on. Yeah, I did. I did actually ring up my MP. It was guarding the 18th or something. I'm not very good with dates. But I did ring up the MP the other day. Got the answering machine, left a message, but they haven't rung us back yet. But I'll ring him again, see if I can get some kind of response off them, or any kind of response. I don't kind of go sit too well with my local council, or my old local council. My new local council quite likes us. He does. The deputy mayor thinks it's a lovely idea. Great idea.
Outstanding.
In principle. I don't, you've got to kind of work out what that in principle means. Maybe in practice. Who knows? But, you know, this whole idea of people showing unity in some manner, I think the blue wold kind of makes a point. Everyone can have it, you know. Like I say, if enough people just, you know, show unity. You know, people keep going on about they want a banner or a flag and everybody's got to get together and they've got this big event coming on the 18th. Numerology, Sufi stuff, it's a 9, and 9 being a real kind of, wait, hang on a minute, the kind of number. You know, if they have got an opportunity, there is an opportunity. I think there's always an opportunity, you know, on an individual level, but it's to get an opportunity where they could, if they wanted to, actually, everyone turned up with a face painted blue. Everyone. And I think in my world, it'd be even cooler if the first speech or the first people who said anything on that day just said, with the blue face, you need that blue face. And if you think it's confirmed, throw blood on it, not real blood, you know, stage kind of blood. And throw blood on it, or even spit it on it. You know, excuse me, you might be able to see somebody in the background who's juggling shovels. But, you know, make it obvious it's not conservative. The Celtic kind of warrior look. I think we're beyond telling them, aren't we? I think a visual demonstration... a visual demonstration, and the first people just say, well, there's nothing else we can say. There is no more research needs to be done as evidence to prove that cannabis does things. Who needs the research? Who needs research? Do you mean evidence? Do you mean evidence? Because this isn't a case of research now. It's a case of proving something.
So, I think,
although I don't really go with flag waving, demonstrations, menstruations, I think they're pretty pointless. However, I wouldn't deny there is an opportunity, you know, for all those people to go down there with some kind of, you know, Anonymous made a real point by doing this. I'm not saying that we should try to do, you know, the same thing as Anonymous, but to show that kind of unity across all the groups, you know, I think it'd be an idea. And I mean, if you want to carry a cannabis plant with you while you're doing it, you know, or have a cannabis hat or something, or, you know, your own particular banner or flag at the same time, I think that'd be even better. Because that would show them that all those people, or at least a few individuals amongst the groups, are working together, you know, on the greater good of it, rather than running around in circles capping on to the government. You know, I think there's a massive opportunity for people on the 18th. And I think if anybody doesn't recognise it, they'd be a fool. And I'm a fool, so I probably wouldn't bother turning up. Mind you, if I do kind of see loads of people turning up on social media with a face painted blue, I might be persuaded. But hey, I don't know, I might sneak down, paint my face blue, dye my hair pink. But yeah, I do think it's a brilliant opportunity. for all those groups out there amongst the cannabis community. Do you know whether they are users, supporters, Sufis, Brahmins? Do you know? Get everybody involved. Why not? You know, get all the politicians that who actually tell you that, you know, oh yes, well, we support cannabis. Just listen, well, I expect you to paint your face blue on the 18th when you're in Parliament. Let's see if we can get a few politicians to do it as well. I mean, I think I might be pushing it a little bit too far. But, you know, I bet you we could get some of the Green Party to do it. They'd be natural, wouldn't they? Green and blue. Never mind. But, you know, I don't support any of them, but I think they could all show unity. So, yeah, I know it might sound a bit kooky, a bit crazy, but I support that idea, me. I think it's a great idea. And you can use it to support Michelle's case as well, and let them know that, you know, that the colour's not just showing them that we aren't prepared to take any more of their bullshit, basically, you know, and that we are all prepared to work together on a common, and it'll just scare the pants out of them. And I mean, we don't want that. They're just scared. You know, Sarah's right. I think Amit's right. They're just scared. And if we go up and scare the pants out of them, you know, it won't really help too much. So we've got to show them that within the cannabis community, we don't really want retribution. We don't want retribution. We don't want to hurt anybody. We're actually working to stop the retribution and stop people getting hurt. You see, and that's all we want people to do, just stop hurting people, and especially through stupid bits of paper. You know, that's crazy. Written on it, the Misuse of Drugs Act. That actually makes them lots of little bits of paper that they can then buy things with, which is a bit strange, I know. But yeah, I think it's a brilliant opportunity. I like I say, I might even be convinced to turn up myself, you know, as long as I get to paint my face blue and spit blood at MPs. Not real blood, of course, stage blood. I'm not saying we start slaughtering animals or people, or definitely not. That's not the way. That's their way. Not our way. We can act and put on a show that can show unity above along all the groups, and I think that's what's needed, if nothing else. You know, I can't see it myself, and if I can't see it, and I've looked for it, you know, I've proked a few of these groups, you know, and go, come on, what are you going to do? We all seem to want to wait around for somebody else to do it. But I know there are people within them groups that have kind of a bit the same thinking in a way that I kind of think, I've heard it before. We've all heard it before. What? What are they going to do? Oh, it's a great step for this. And I really want it to happen. It would be great, wouldn't it, if they legislated it so a GM farmer can produce more of it and sell it to their... Come on. Let's not fall over. Have a look at Canada. What's happening in Canada? Have a look around the world before we go lumbering along, waving our flags, because we haven't got any unity. We haven't come up with some sensible policies on medicine. It's not just about cannabis. There's loads of people out there being falsely prescribed, misprescribed on a daily basis, and it's because of that things like cannabis don't rise to the forefront. Then doctors, I mean, if I were a doctor, I'd be pooing my pants. You know, we've got to reassure these people that we're not looking for retribution. We're just looking for them to stop and allow this to develop as it would naturally. You know, solving most economical problems, solving most social problems. You know, it seems to me like they're not really in the problem-solving business. Like, they need people to be in conflict. It's like there's two opposing forces now, these businesses. One called illegal drugs, so-called, and the other one called weapons. And they kind of want us to kind of get all scared about it. Well, don't. Don't get scared about it. No, we don't need their weapons. And it's only a matter of time, living like that, they're going to need our medicine. It's as simple as that. And the moral high ground has been well and truly taken by every single group that has tried anything, or individuals. Spoke to a guy, Jimmy Gangeland, just recently. Don't know if you've spoken to him, Amit. He's a fun guy. We took him down to a new association here in Spain.
And you know, an individual, Mandy Cupcake, an individual, they'll have difficulty kind of with me for saying that, because they go, oh, it weren't just me. But they were. They kind of got out there and they had a go, you know, and they do. Some of these do, still do. Mandy does battles all the time, you know, for various different causes, you know. So I don't just think it's about cannabis, the 18th. I think it's about people gaining back privacy. That's, I think, is the first step we'd need to take in the United Kingdom and around the world, is to show them that what we do in private, it's got nothing to do with them, unless somebody makes it something to do with them. You know, somebody's got a complaint or a problem. You know, if one of them MPs kind of goes round after telling you, goes into the police and says, hey, that them people there are going to grow cannabis and give it medically. And the police would say, yeah, well, what is it affecting you? Is it affecting you? How is it affecting you? They shouldn't just turn around and come around and kick somebody's door in, you know? So I think that would be the angle to take towards, on the 18th, to these posh people who live in these big houses that you think are in charge. Yeah? I do. And I think, if you can get people to do that, you know, like I say, it's not such a crazy idea. I know it's a bit nuts, but hey, paint the face blue. Why not? I wouldn't actually paint it all blue. I would kind of make it that warrior. But, I mean, some of the girlies will want to have flowers, I suppose. But, hey, who cares, really? Let them know that there is unity amongst the movement, if there is really a movement. I need convincing. I really do need convincing. I work with people who do get a lot of stuff done, and I've met some people recently, you know, who've got stuff done. That's why I mentioned Jimmy, I mentioned Mandy, you know, and the association we've come across, Green Scenes. The people who get things done. They're out there. You know, they are. So why not show them that? Why not show them that? I don't see what the problem is.
They're the ones busy doing it, though, aren't they? You know, so they've got the reds down and busy doing it. They're not really the ones that get always brought to the forefront, are they, the ones that are doing it? So
I don't know. There might be blue face paint available on the 18th. You never know. You never know. I'm not making no promises on what I'm doing regarding am I going to turn up on the 18th? I don't honestly know. It's like I say, it's not my thing, really.
If you do, you'll be a day early.
Is it the 19th? Is it?
Yep.
Okay, well, there you go. You say I'll be rubbish, like I say. The 10th? Ooh.
It was at 10 o'clock.
Oh, two ones. God, my God, don't go any further now. I already mentioned a 9. We'll have people getting at us already. You can't put two ones and a 9 together without creating an international conspiracy. So, yeah, we have run a little bit over. I don't know if... I think Terry had some numbers in there right after mine as well. Excuse me, I waffled on me quite a bit, didn't I? But I do think that idea of asking your MPs to paint their faces blue on the 19th, it would be a great thing. I think it would be a great thing to do. And if they won't do it... Why not do yourself?
I don't know. I think maybe I heard my name mentioned for a moment. Hi, thank you for having me on the show today. You guys, it's always good to join you on Wednesdays and talk about the cannabis plant. And, you know, I've been, you know, listening while, you know, doing other, like checking out how much money I have in my bank account. But it's one of those days. I did hear a bit about, I don't know, the whole celebrity famous type of thing in the discussion. And for some reason, that topic resonates with me because, you know, I am one of those people that went into the entertainment business and have worked in show business. And I'm a comedian and, you know, one of those people that, you know, honestly, I have experienced a certain amount. I mean, I don't mean to be conceited right now or seem completely like a narcissist in this moment. But I have experienced a certain amount of fame, or what people would consider to be fame, for various different reasons. And it is an interesting thing to experience, and also it is very much about the ego. And you know, there definitely are people that, you know, strive for recognition and a certain amount of monetary advancement, and you know, they do things to get those that kind of feeding for themselves, whether they be for the greater good of humanity or not. And you know, I do feel that entertainers are oftentimes very controlled, even perhaps by, you know, the military or CIA, or you know there's also, you know, the Masonic connections to show business and MK Ultra and all that kind of thing stuff. And so when you talk about what goes on in the media and how the way the world is functions in terms of people's perceptions are highly manipulated by the entertainment business and the sort of somewhat fake journalism that exists, you know, that exists. And one of the reasons why I, you know, became a cannabis activist is because I could actually see that manipulation that's been done to the cannabis plant since the beginning of time. I mean, when they decided to make it illegal, then what did they do? They made films and they took the papers and they spun these stories. At least they did that in the United States to create public opinion or an aversion to what this plant is really all about. And now you can see where they're using entertainers to bring it back into the flow of cannabis. But then again, you have to question what the motivation behind that is and who is going to control the proceeds and what the plant is really all about. Again, it's kind of like the very people that took it away from humanity now realize that they have no choice but to bring it back to humanity. But at the same time, you know, don't fool yourself that they don't want to monopolize it into the same sick, twisted system in which we're existing in. So when you come down to the point of like, what? Do you know, I mean, so when you come down to the point of what does fame mean, or what is putting your face on anything particular mean? Like right now, there still is somebody sometimes has to come forward and have whatever that is be identified with them in some ways about something. Like, for example, I think about, like, well, I am a public person, and yeah, I do have that background of having that boost to a lot of people, where I was able to go into, you know, millions of different households on a larger level. In that is something that also can be used in the opposite direction for something better, because of that fact, you know, I was able to get and have access to a certain type of press that made the issues surrounding the cannabis plant public to people. So, you know, the very system in which, you know, the exploitation happens for the more self-serving interests that work in bringing things also is the same thing that is used to bring something out forward so people can become empowered and take action. I mean, obviously, characters like Gandhi or Martin Luther King Jr. or Mother Teresa or anybody else who has influenced the forward thinking of mankind are also considered, they are also famous people, but I don't necessarily think that they're famous people for the reasons that, let's say, Hollywood famous people are at. And so it's basically, you know, realizing that this is how I look at it. If you signed up for something, like in terms of Dark City Radio, people know who Dark City Radio is, or they will now know who any one of us is being on this show, basically because we're here making ourselves known, saying what we're saying. And someone would go, oh, well, did you know Sarah Sativa said? And therefore Sarah Sativa in some way is somewhat famous. But and yet anything that makes us famous is basically only in this temporal existence in which we are in. Therefore, it really is only a manifestation of a fleck of simply an ego of what you've created. And the whole entirety of your person is way far more expansive than what that is. So in a way, fame, actually, if you get caught up in it, will simply limit your reality of knowing exactly who you really are. And I smoked some really good weed today. Cheers.
I kind of agree, Terry. I kind of agree. I think I agree with you in a sense. I know that the more people get to know you, the harder things get. People kind of think, people got you. Not really, no. The quieter you can do things, the better you can do things, the better it is. The thing is so many people are requiring something, and people have to go to enormous risks to be able to do that. And that's what we need to remove. Like I say, a sensible medical policy within cannabis, especially for the people in the UK. It's not just the UK, though, there's loads of countries around Europe. I know everybody thinks like, oh, well, they can topple the UK, but, it would be nice. It would send a shockwave across Europe. There's no doubt about that. I got to subscribe to, we're just kind of handing it over to the ones who took it away so they can make more money out of it and do exactly the same.
That's how it feels to me. That's what I feel is a possibility that could be happening. I mean, look at it. I mean, we know George Soros has backed every single state that has legalized it for recreational use in the United States. When you have George Soros putting money behind you, don't you think George Soros is going to expect some money back? These guys don't put money down unless they're going to make money. And so just that simple fact right there means that the very people that are made it illegal or against it or have their hands in it. They've had their hands in it since, even if it was illegal, because they've done illegal back deals as well. I mean, I don't mean to like be whistleblowing everybody, but let's just talk about the CIA and their drug runs with their planes, and that information is coming out with Gary Webb, Don't Kill the Messenger. Everybody has had their hands in this plant, everybody. And yet because of that, and I think those people that even have done it on the illegal side now see the real purpose and the goodness of what that is. And so they, I think, are also allies in this. That's my guess. I think we're looking at shades of gray here. And yet, if you look at like these politicians and things like this, George Soros specifically, I'm just going to put his name out there because he's the most common one. I mean, some of his organizations actually fund some of our major medical marijuana nonprofits that are the forerunners of legislature change. They fund them too as well. He funds them too as well. So you got to trace back where the money's coming to.
And the business that set up the petitions in the UK. The same one, Sorrel. One that they want. Yeah.
I'm just theorizing here. I could be way off. I'd rather be wrong than right because it sounds horrific. But I'm thinking, just watch your back in who you're talking to and where is it really going to? Because it's very clever. When you bring legislature in and, a sense of law and morality to it combined, it masks the real motivation as to where it goes to and how it is controlled. The main thing that I'm concerned about is that patients have safe access in a sense that they don't have to pay like we can still get, you know, I can still get 3 grams of top shelf for $30 and you know, an edible or something of that nature where people can get medicine cheaply. To me, to be able to like smoke 30 grams of something to take care of ailments like PMS or anxiety or aches and pains that I'm doing it for, I can only imagine people that have chronic illnesses and the amount of money that they have to pay in lieu of like their insurance and the other medical marijuana profession.
That 3 grams, you say you can get 3 grams, is that a day?
No, I mean, it depends if you wanted, if you smoked 3 grams a day. I mean, I'm not a 3 gram a day smoker, you know, but that's just me. I mean, I can make 3 grams, you know, last a week, maybe, you know, if I have to.
You think 3 grams would be quite adequate, or maybe 5 grams would be an adequate amount per day for a medical user?
That's a good question.
I know there's,
grams a day. Some people need a lot more, and that makes the accessibility and the low price of it more important for people. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but you know, besides the serious cases, Terry,
yeah,
you know, people like yourself and like an abundance of people, really. I'm not trying to take it away from the people who've got cancer, and I know there's going to be people who need to assist them until they need a small amount, you know, 3, 5 grams, gram a day, 5 grams a week. But, you know, it's just kind of getting a sensible amount. We went to an association recently that will take medical members, providing they have got a reasonable age and they've gone through a medical protocol, got to have that right equipment. They can arrive here in Spain and receive cannabis immediately. I mean, they've got to have the relevant paperwork to do it. Don't think you can just turn up like a tourist and go in there and go, oh, I want 3 grams of cannabis. No, if that's the case, you have to go through and need NIE and certain things. You have to be a medical user. And as long as you've got evidence to prove you're a medical user, it's fine. It's fine. And they can supply you up to 5 grams a day as a medical user. They have a limitation. That limitation is not put there because of any law. It's put there because of, as you said, supply and demand, Terry. You know, you can't have 50 medical users turning up on a Wednesday, all signing up and saying, I need 50 grams of oil now, please. It isn't achievable. But for thousands, if not hundreds of millions of people, to know that that is available. When I came here to Spain, I couldn't find it. I'm not saying it wasn't available. It could have been. I couldn't find it. It took me a long time to do what Kush has done in the last few days. Gone through the Dark City medical protocol, turned up here in Spain with all the relevant stuff that he needs. Is now a member of a social association that supports medical, and it is immediate requirements for cannabis. He can go and get more than what he needs. He doesn't need a great deal of cannabis in that sense. That may be a cancer patient or someone using it as an alternative to chemotherapy, maybe trying. That you know, he doesn't need that amount. So for loads of people, literally, if they've got the right paperwork, and I can't stress that enough, it's not a great deal. You actually do need to do it, but without the right paperwork, it ain't going to happen. I'm not saying you can't go to associations where you can turn up, you know, off a plane. Go in there, you know, sign up, go in, get cannabis, get stoned, get whacked and do all that. They're not the kind of places what I would think are really going to be appreciated for too long. They're not conscientious in the way things are happening. And I know for a fact the ones that do operate that I've been to or I've seen do not get local support. It's people don't want problems, same as anything else. They want nicely run establishments done in a professional manner, and that's really where we've got to up the level, whether that be medical or social use. It is available in Spain. I saw a group jump up on Facebook just recently. I can't quite remember it, you'll have to excuse me. But they were helping people to actually come to Spain, refugees, I think it was something refugees, medical refugees Spain, I'm not too sure. But they were helping people come to Spain, rent properties, get the medicine, they priced it out. They've actually priced it out on the website. Look, you can fix yourself for this. And it wasn't a great deal of money. It's not a great deal of money when you consider what a course of chemotherapy costs. Of course, many people in the UK especially haven't got the money. They get chemotherapy on the National Health Service and they can't afford to do that. So hopefully these associations and groups that are more medically based, and as the knowledge between the social and the medical group starts to intermingle more here in Spain, then that ideology will also develop quite quickly in the UK between medical and social users. The transition, what's taking place, medical users should always be given the top shelf. Always, if I put the scenario over, if your cannabis could save a child, would you give it to the child? Every cannabis smoker I've ever come across will just give you theirs right then.
Right.
So it's a different culture. It really is a different culture. We're at a time where we're having to try and, I won't be careful with my words, assist people in becoming part of that culture. And it is a beautiful thing. I've seen quite a few people make that transition over the last few weeks, years, and it is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to be part of. I wish it wasn't there. I wish it had never happened, but it has, and we do need to take some form of active role, whatever it may be, in stopping this tyranny against this plant, which is killing our children. Our everything's really. It's not just our children. It's our, it must be awful, for people to watch the people, the family members die without dignity. It must be awful for them. It can be hard enough for the ones who bloody survive. It can. We had David, didn't we? David Ibbert. And he was bombarded by the media, bombarded. And he's a good guy, but what can these people do? What can they do? Before you know it, these people are being put under that much stress. They're getting unwell again. It's nuts. It's almost as if, like you say, I don't think there is a conspiracy in a sense where. They're all, they all meet up on a Wednesday night and decide and just listen to Dark City, and go, right.
I said, well, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to change my mood.
I don't really think they do. I don't. I think it's.
I will say this. This did happen to me though. I was doing a show because you guys inspired me. You look for somebody for Crohn's disease, right? For cannabis. I actually met when I was at the last minute. I think Sarah said, "Can you find a mom that's treating her child with Crohn's disease?" I put it out there in this one forum, and I found this other mom, right? And I did an interview with her, and we went into quite a bit of stuff. All of a sudden, her Skype connection to me folded up and blocked. It made it so it looked like I blocked her in the middle of our show, and I could never add her back. Thank God I had her phone number. So sometimes weird stuff like this goes on, which makes me think that maybe there are other people like, you know, the NSA or somebody who's monitoring some of these shows that are out there that will somehow electronically screw you up, sabotage. You know, I've done interviews not with just about cannabis, but about other subject matters where, you know, we've talked and their levels of their volume are being manipulated, not by them, but it's still happening on the controls. I mean, just weird stuff like this does happen about certain things. And usually when it surrounds cannabis, it has to do with something that is giving someone massive results of remission or curing in opposition to pharmaceutical companies is where I've seen things go wacky on my end. I'm just saying that whether you want to call that paranoia or that couldn't be possible or whatever, I'm just saying these things happen. Are they correlated? Well, if I thought so, from what I can tell, that's what I've deducted.
You know, to me, I do get what you're saying, but to me, now, looking around now, I just think the information's everywhere. You know, blocking a radio show isn't going to stop the information from getting there. All you've got to do is turn Facebook on or Google cannabis as a medicine or cancer, cannabis as Crohn's. It's everywhere. You know, if they are trying to keep it under wraps, I think you might as well give up.
They might as well give up. I mean, really, in a sense, even if that is actually really happening, it's just kind of, I mean, it's like, why bother? Like Sarah, like you're saying, it's everywhere. It's like, I'm not saying anything new, but I guess maybe they're trying to slow it down for some, you know, I mean, or maybe it's an intimidation to the person that's doing it, you know, I mean, whatever. I mean, I've had weird electronic things happening, and I've had guests harassed by government things for what they said on the show going way back to when I first started. So do I think that, I mean, like right now people are like sharing these privacy things because it's a hoax for, you know, about, oh, I'm going to have to pay for my privacy on Facebook, which is not happening. But the fact that people are so concerned about like their privacy, what privacy do you think you've had on Facebook? Zero. I mean, in almost anything that we're doing right now is seen. I mean, when you have our presidential elections, when they bring up a social media question, it means they watch the social media. You know, we are being watched for we are being analyzed for the our views anyways by what we are tweeting and Instagramming and putting on Facebook. It's out there. The cat's out of the bag. So in a sense, we really live in some interesting times, and I don't think that we should feel disempowered in any way. If anything, people are getting more immediate knowledge, and the lies are becoming almost like, you know, laughable, like as if it's pure ignorance that almost should be not even taken seriously. Like, what are you, an idiot that you're not copying to the other research and the other information that's out there? And that has a lot to do with, you know, even the media that we're in right now. This media is really quite more, it's very powerful. People are listening to what we're saying.
Oh, they certainly are. You certainly are. And it's all across the spectrum of society as well. It's not just the hippies. That's the thing. It's not just people who are into herbal medicine, into alternative medicine. It's people that have really trusted in the system and worked within the system, paid their taxes quite happily and been happily part of the system that are now turning to this plant because they're not very well. You know, when you're ill and you're in pain and you're desperate for your life, you're going to try anything. And this plant is having such miraculous results with people. You know, doctors are turning up at people's house, cancer patients' houses, to say, "Oh, it's time for you to go into palliative care now," and the patient's like, "Well, actually, I'm not ready." And the doctors are like, "No, I don't suppose you are. You're looking really well. Oh, how come that? You should be halfway dead by now, but you know, you've only got 2 weeks to live according to my estimates, but you're looking very healthy. What's your secret?" And this is what's happening all the time, but a lot of people aren't telling the doctors what their secret is until they're because of the fear again, and it's rightly so in a lot of ways, you know, because some doctors haven't got a clue. But you would think if a doctor did see such an improvement and was not seeing the results they was expecting to so quickly. And I hear about this all the time because, you know, obviously I do because of the Compassion Club and everything. You know, we're actually having some amazing results, you know, and It's all you got to do is see one of your friends and who have used cannabis as a medicine for cancer or something like that, and that's it. You're going to believe it and you're going to try it. You know, there's nothing they can do to stop this snowball. So don't be don't be in fear, because there's nothing to fear, really. Just there's nothing, you know, death is worse, pain is worse. You know, at least give yourself that chance. Go out there, get yourself the oil if you need it, and you know, from a reliable source. Follow a very strict, weighted dosing guide, especially if you've never had cannabis before. I can't state this enough. So if you've never had cannabis before, do not follow rice grain protocols, please, if you can help it. There are really good ones that go by weight. And this isn't just about the high. I keep saying to people, it's not just about the high. It's also about how fast your body starts to detox. And detoxification starts happening when your body's healing. So if cannabis is healing your body, it is putting it into a state of detox. The cancer cells are dying. They are being detoxified out of the system by the liver. You know, people don't understand the basics. But you really, you know, there's things that you can do to support the body as well if you want to go faster. But, you know, how do you keep counting when you're doing grains of rice, especially if you're ill, you know, out of a tube? You know, if it's not in a syringe, what do you do, a blob of rice? You know, it's a blob. And so if you're a hardened cannabis user, then, you know, you can tolerate, or you've been, or you have smoked for a large time of your life, you can tolerate going up a lot faster is what I'm seeing. So, you know, but still, you have got to think about the detoxing effects. But, you know, and you've just got to see it. You've just got to hear about it. People are trying it. There's nothing the government can do anymore around the world. They are dissolving because we are becoming our own masters. We no longer need them. And that's what we've got to concentrate on, you know, concentrate on becoming our own masters and our own self-leaders. And then we won't be looking for it to anyone for any of this. And we'll know what's right and what's wrong. We won't need a law there to guide us through. That's what I think.
I think you're right. And one thing that I like Bob mentioned earlier is, you know, the compassionate aspect of, you know, like if you knew, like a person who had marijuana on them, that they knew that there was a sick child that needed it, they would just go, here's mine. You take it. I mean, there is that kind of, I think, heart associated with this plant. And it's something that's been missing in the other healthcare system that we're in. And so, you know, my thought is, like, again, what comes to mind to me is I'd like to focus on that. Like, you want to put a spotlight onto that, whether it be people who are entrepreneurs creating products that are going to be part of our new economic system to every different level. Because even people that are, you know, have ancillary businesses behind this particular plant, many of them, if you find out, were actually crusaders and activists for it. And they saw a need to create something to facilitate something. Yeah, they looked at maybe from a purely business model, but even those who came in from that angle somehow can see that they're actually doing something that's going to be improving us on a grand level.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing that I really like is people to just sort of share. People seem to be sort of scared of if there's anything goes wrong when you're using cannabis, you know, because we're so pushing so, because everyone's pushing so hard to change the law. They think if you say anything that it does that isn't quite right, or that it's going to go against the campaign, but actually it's going to go towards the campaign, because that, it means that people aren't going to end up in hospital with their heart beating so fast they think they're going to die, you know? It's got to be respected when you're using things like cannabis oil. It really has got to be respected. And we need to tell about these horror stories that are happening to people as well as the good stuff. You know, that's how we all learn together. You know, it's really important, I think, to do that as well. So, yeah, you know, let's get all sides of the stories out, all experiences out, because we are basically the ones who are recording this and the ones who are discovering this as it moments. We are the human trials, even though human trials have been going on for longer than that. You know, it was the first recorded use of cannabis, recorded use, was in 2900 BC. So, really, you know, but we're rediscovering it, really, aren't we? You know, that's what I would say is more like it. We're rediscovering. So it's vitally important that we do share the ups and downs of cannabis, you know, because when you're using it as a medicine, like for things like cancer, you're going up to very, very high dosages. You know, a gram a day is massive by anybody's standard. If I had a gram today, I would be off my head, you know, totally. And I'm not ill, you know. I might even try and hide in the wardrobe or something at one point, you know, just get me out of here. But, you know, it can't be like that for me sometimes, you know. I'm not always the best. Like I say, I can feel a lot of energy and everything when I do a lot of cannabis. And so, you know, it can be quite a full-on experience, I think, you know. So you really have got to respect it. Just respect where it's deserved, and cannabis does deserve it. Because it's such an amazing healing plant, you've got to think of what the changes and the adjustments it's making within your body to be able to be that healing. And your body's got to adjust. So your body's got to keep up with the cannabis. And not everybody's body's able to keep up with the cannabis at the rate that they're putting it in their body. You know, and this does concern me, you know, and that's why I keep going on about it. So just be careful out there. Respect it. Follow a good, decent weighted dosing guide, I would say. You know, one that goes by weight, not grains of rice, whatever, blobs or grains of rice. It's all right. I'm not saying that these blobs or grains of rice protocols haven't worked for people, because obviously they have. But I also reckon that they're responsible for getting a lot of people in bother. And let's just not risk that anymore, really. We know that this is what can happen. So let's work our way around it and work with a sensible medical protocol across the board, like we keep pushing for at Dark City. That's what I think. Anyway, I think, does anyone have much more to say? Because we're nearly done 2 hours now. Has anyone got anything else to say? Because I'll close up in the last 4 minutes.
It was a pleasure and honour speaking to you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ahmed. It was brilliant having you on. Do you have any idea when you're going to have your documentary out and ready for us all to watch?
Honestly, I'm hoping by the end of December. The film might be coming out in three different segments because it's kind of expanded a lot. But I think only after the 12th of October is over and done with will I get a better idea on the actual structure of the film. And I may even have to fly down to Minnesota to interview Mr. Dr. David McKenna as well. So I'm trying to balance things off, but hopefully end of December, hopefully.
Well, I'll very much look forward to it, even though I'm not in it myself. I'll definitely watch it, and because it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be really great. I'm looking forward to it. Certain bits of it, I might fast press the fast forward button, but most
of course.
No offense to anyone, no tricky people, but you know, yeah, definitely looking forward to that coming out. It will be good.
Right.
So, thank you, Ahmed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great guest, and thank you to Michelle. And have you got anything you want to say quickly, Michelle? It doesn't have to be that quick, but have you got anything you want to say before we go?
The only thing I would have added that it was Childhood Cancer Awareness Week, but I mean, you know, you kind of covered all of that between me having that thought to bring that up, you know, because they were doing it on Facebook with the hero cartoon pictures, and it was the last day today as well, so I just thought, you know, kind of quite relevant to bring in that it is a relevant treatment. In obviously, as you said, the correct dosage.
Yeah, definitely. And children respond a lot better to cannabis oil than adults do.
Do you think that's because prohibition has caused those with knowledge to be fearful of what it might do So it's caused this kind of like placebo bad effect where the children are uneducated about that. So they take it thinking, well, you know, it's been given to me by, you know, mummy and I trust mummy and whatever. And that's why it's worked, because they're not corrupted by the prohibition.
I think there's a number of different reasons as to why it works. Like you say, you know, when you tell a child this is your medicine and it's going to make you better, they've got that belief more so than what an adult would have. An adult would have a lot more doubt and question everything a lot more, whereas a child, like you say, trusts its mum and dad and wouldn't be in fear of the law, wouldn't necessarily know that what it was, what the cannabis it was taking was, the medicine it was using was actually illegal, so they wouldn't have that added fear there with it either. Also, they probably haven't got as many toxins built up in their body. There's probably quite a few different reasons as to why, really. The toxins in their body is probably another one. They haven't been breathing in fumes as long as what we have. They haven't necessarily had all the years of emotional trauma that we have had, which compounds and adds to illness. They haven't spent years and years and years withholding themselves, not saying things out of worry of offending. You know, they haven't had to go through all of that for 40 odd years or 60 years. You're working in a job that they haven't wanted to do. You know, they haven't had all of those pressures and negativity and soul-destroying and disease-ridden lifestyles that we've decided to live on this planet at this time. So they're more playful. They enjoy, you know, they have more fun. They experience moods more fleetingly. They experience emotions how you're meant to, you know. They feel sad, they let it go. They feel happy, they let it go, and they move on from one thing to the next, you know.
You don't murder one another for profit.
Yeah, there we go. There's lots of reasons, really, I would say.
Yeah, very good points.
Anyway, so does anyone else want to say goodbye?
Sorry, goodbye. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.
That was Jimmy Gangeland. Jimmy Gangeland's just turned up at Dark City. ESP.
And
hello, and hello, love you, goodbye.
And there's Mandy Cupcake just saying goodbye. There you go.
Love you too, Mandy.
I really love you, Diane.
Wish you were here.
Yeah.
On the dark side.
I will be soon.
See you on the dark side of the moon.
And don't forget, we've got a great guest coming on next week, Bernadette, and I'm so excited about this one, because Bernadette isn't really she's just an ordinary person, you know, and I really admire her. The stuff that she's been doing in the build up to October the 12th is absolutely amazing, and before that, she's a very brave and very courageous person, then, Bernadette, and the reason why is because she's got quite a lot of illnesses, you know, and cannabis makes a massive difference to her life, absolute massive difference, you know. But I'm not going to give it all away. It's going to be a great show next week anyway, and we're going to be getting quite a few more ordinary people to show you what its life is like in the UK right now for medical cannabis users, because that's really what Dark City is all about, really, what life is like for the ordinary folk. We are the people's radio for the people, and we want to give the people a voice, and that's what we do. So thank you very much, and welcome. Goodbye. Good night.
An idea that exists in the hearts of everyone, to put the resources into the hands of the people, to increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.